Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Believe in UCLA Football Podcast. We'll be here with a new episode for you right after this quick note.
Bet Online is your number one source for all of your betting needs. Get the latest odds, lines, and matchup reports for baseball, boxing, golf, and more. Bet Online continues to be the fastest and easiest way to place your wager, including live betting and your favorite casino and card games available to play right from your phone. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and get in on the action. Remember to use the promo code BELIEVE for your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Bet online, where the game starts.
Hello, 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 and welcome back to another episode of the Believe in UCLA Football Podcast. My name is James Williams, a reporter and editor for the Orange County Register and the Southern California News Group. And as always, I'm joined here by my co-host, former UCLA linebacker, Josh Woods. Josh, what's going on, man?
You know, enjoying this fresh Vancouver air. The boys are healthy. We're rolling, coming off a bye week. You know, okay. this year our schedule is set up pretty evenly. So it's not like, I think last year we had like a home opener, then a bye week, then like two or three games in a bye week. And then we didn't have a bye week till later on in the year. And then we had like eight games straight to finish off the year. This year is like set up better. I think we had like five games bye week, another like maybe seven bye week, and then finish out the season and then a bye week at the end. And then if we win our division, we'd have another bye week. So we potentially have two bye weeks going into a West Finals game. So as long as the boys stay healthy and keep rolling, you know, good things happening. Good guys are getting dubs.
Okay. What does one do during their bye week? What did you do for this past week?
I visited Kelowna, British Columbia. It's like wine country.
But the Canadian version.
Out here. It's like a bunch of wineries around the lake. Different vibe. I mean, I don't even know what to compare it to in the States or in Cali, like, but it was nice. For the most part, the weather was good. There was like one day it was kind of rainy. And then I came back midway and then started some treatment and getting things back going, so I didn't go back into the work week, you know, rusty. You know, I wanted to hit it, you know, going up. So it was nice though.
Very nice, very nice. You mentioned you had one day of rain, like it was like a nuisance or something. Josh, it's freaking hot over here. It's 96 degrees, but what is the temperature over there before I tell you what I'm getting myself into here in the next couple days?
It is 76 degrees right now.
I'm sick. I can't.
We're touching Wednesday and Thursday. We're touching 83. Other than that, we're in the 70s for the next week and a half.
Okay, Josh Woods. I am going to be going to Pac-12 Media Day later this week. And if it's anything like it was this past weekend in Vegas, it was like 113, 114. Ooh. I mean,
I hope all the events and interviews are all inside.
They are supposed to be inside. I don't know how much I can say. I guess it's just called the resort or the Vegas resort. It's like the newest hotel that they have out there. So the Pac-12 is kind of doing it up a little bit. They at least got that going for them. They didn't go to the circus or anything. You know what I mean? So they're doing it pretty big there. And I would imagine there's going to be AC, but I'm like, do I even wear a nice shirt? Because just leaving the hotel to walk anywhere is going to be
dress like you're on a vacation at a resort. How about that?
I don't really go on vacation, so I don't even know, but I'll figure something out. I might just wear a t-shirt and call it a day, because it's too hot to be trying to look any kind of cute. So I don't know. We'll see about that. But we'll get to more Pac-12 Media Day stuff in a minute. We'll make some predictions. There's a lot of talk on what to expect from Pac-12 Media Day. Obviously, I've been to a few of them. I know you've been to at least one as well. But I am kind of curious. Obviously, we did take some time away. You had a bye week. It gave me a chance to also recharge my batteries in terms of the podcast. But we did talk to quite a few different people. The last interview or the last podcast episode, which featured an interview with Nate Metters, was our last episode. Make sure you guys go and check it out. It is a super long one. I believe it's at least an hour and a half. You know, and we've had some other people. You weren't here, but we had Josh Kelly on, and we've had DTR, Shea Pitts, Mafi, several other guys. Anything you learned about any of those conversations we've had? I know it's been a little while, but anything about those conversations you remember, or just being able to catch up with some of the guys? Anything that kind of stand out from some of the recent guests we've had on?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing for me is just catching up with, you know, the boys, having conversations beyond, you know, a few DMs or texts here and there, you know, just getting to catch up. And then also to another thing I'd say, like, relive the memories of, you know, things that we went through, our times at UCLA together, just like, you know, those type of things. And then the last thing is probably like, for like the younger guys, just hearing their experience when we left, like the impact that we had on them, and then also just like how they were able to impact the future of, you know, UCLA Brotherhood. Like those types of things are really cool. And I think especially if I was a fan of UCLA football, just hearing those experiences would be really awesome, because you don't get a chance to know these things unless, you know, hear them from us firsthand. So I think, you know, if you haven't already, definitely go check out those pods. All of them are insightful, and majority of them are funny. I feel like whenever we have, you know, like another Bruin on here, another guest is like, that was, you know, former player, former teammate. It's always funny and jokes, because that was just the nature of our locker room and the nature of, you know, the culture of the guys.
Josh, I think that's a good point, actually, because, you know, as the guys kind of graduate, move on from UCLA, sometimes the fan base, you know, everyone goes their separate ways. And even for the fan base, they kind of stay locked in on UCLA. And so sometimes they don't get a chance to follow the other guys and see what they're up to, or some of the other guys may not be on social media or different platforms. So it's kind of good to kind of follow the guys and see what they're up to and kind of check in with them. And I think that's kind of, you know, that's one of the things I like about always checking in with you and asking how your current team is doing, because not only are we talking about UCLA football, but you being a former Bruin, we get to follow your journey while you're actually in the season. You know, we're not able to do that with a lot of the actual current UCLA guys. Obviously, with Media Day, we'll get a chance to kind of check in with some of them. But for someone like you who's kind of been through the process, I think it's pretty cool opportunity to kind of follow your journey. Hey everybody, just wanted to take a quick break to remind you guys that the football season is right around the corner. And when you're headed out to the Rose Bowl, what better shirt to wear than a Believe in UCLA football podcast shirt? By doing that, you're going out, you're going to the game, you're supporting your team, and you're supporting your favorite podcast at the same time. Some of the proceeds go back to the podcast and help support the content and the different things that we have planned going forward. So what better way to, again, support your team and your favorite podcast than by picking up the shirts. Now, where can you find these shirts? They're available at the Believe Network store. And we made it very easy for you. Scroll down on this podcast. Check out the description. I got two links there for you for two different shirts. Make sure you check them out. Find the one that's right for you. And hopefully, I see you wearing them out at the game. I'd love to see you wear them.
Okay, Josh. Pac-12 Media Day is coming up. Always a fun time. I have a few questions, and I'm interested to kind of get your perspective here. But the first thing for me is everyone. So I kind of tease that I'm kind of going through my Pac-12 preseason rankings. I am one of those who are voting on the preseason team rankings, and I didn't think people cared that much about it, but apparently everybody does. So I kind of hinted that I was doing my ballot, and actually some people wanted to know what it was, and I wasn't really willing to share it at the moment, but I'll share it here on the pod. And then if you have any sort of reaction, we can kind of do that. Yeah. I don't know. And the funny thing is, I don't know who all votes. They just say media. And I think there was one or two years where I didn't vote. So I don't know if everybody in the room votes, but I'll go ahead and read mine. And you can send your hate tweets to @JHWReporter. Okay. So I'll start from the bottom, actually. Okay. So number 12, I'm going with Stanford. They do have a new coach. They do have a new recruiting class, but they had a lot of turnover. So I think they have anywhere from like 30 or 40 guys coming in. So it's a matter of how those guys will kind of gel together. We've talked about situations like that with Josh and some of the other guys that have been on the podcast and what it's like when you kind of get a new coach and everything that goes with that. Number 11 for me is Colorado. I think they only had like one or two wins. I think they can maybe get to three or four wins. So I have them at number 11. They could potentially finish a little higher. It's just kind of, I need to see the first year. It's just kind of the Deion hype. Now, I wasn't really trying to buy into the Deion hype and think they're going to be a middle of the Pac-12 team right now just because Deion is there. So I'll have them at number 11, and I'll totally be okay with being wrong with that one. Number 10, I have Arizona State, which also has a new coach, Kenny Dillingham, who has not been a coach previously. He was the offensive coordinator at Oregon. Actually, because of that move, is partly why UCLA has Dante Moore. And yeah, we'll see where that plays out. Again, a new coaching situation, but I have them at number 10 for the time being. I have California at number 9, and I don't necessarily know how I feel about that, Josh. They're kind of one of those teams that's always in the middle. I don't know. I mean, they could fall off. It kind of remains to be seen. Honestly, Josh, the hardest part was this bottom. I don't know what to make of any of this because there's so much kind of coaching change and different players coming in and some talented guys, but remains to be seen. I have number 8. I have Arizona with Jed Fish. They looked pretty good. It's another year. I guess last year was Jed Fish's first year. Now we're getting another year of Jed Fish. Jane DeLora is still there. And the trend you're going to start seeing with some of these teams that I start mentioning is the quarterback play and some of the stability at some of these quarterback positions. So Jane DeLora and Arizona kind of start that off. He's at number 8. Cam Ward in Washington State. I have Washington State at number 7. Cam Ward also returns at quarterback for the Cougars. I kind of have him in the middle of the road. They're still kind of getting familiar with Jake Dickert. This is either his second full season. We'll see how that trend kind of continues. And Josh, I'm sorry to say, but number 6, I have UCLA. I think it's weird because I think they could still be like a 8 or 9 win team, but there's just so much talent ahead. There's so many talented teams ahead of them that I'm kind of, I don't know what the quarterback situation is going to be at UCLA. So I have them at number 6. So we're about halfway through. How do you feel about UCLA being at number 6, considering the fact that they're coming off of a 9-win season, the best season they've had since 2014? And I'm not the only one. A lot of people are kind of saying that they're going to have UCLA at 6 going into this preseason poll.
This being a UCLA podcast is pretty disappointing. You're supposed to have UCLA number 1 automatically every time. But I mean, a lot of things have to come into play. Losing DTR, you know, somebody that leads all the categories for quarterbacks, has led the team for, you know, all those years, most probably games as a starting quarterback.
Yeah, I think so. Mm-hmm.
And you're losing top running back, both your offensive guards. You're losing
Jake Bobo at receiver.
Yeah, so you're losing a lot of offensive weapons, but then you're losing your defensive, you know, guys that have been there forever.
Mm-hmm.
You
know, a new defensive coordinator.
Yeah, you're losing Stephen Blaylock. You're losing Mo Ossolin. Middle right now, okay, but I mean, there's a lot of upside, you know.
Oh, there is.
Mm-hmm. The Bruins have a lot of upside, and I think I would rather teams to sleep on UCLA and them upset everybody. I kind of like the underdog Bruins storyline. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'd rather everybody doubt us and be like, you know, UCLA's mid, and then we come in to win the Pac-12 championship. So this is your Pac-12 ranking. I'm not doing one, so
yep.
I'll let all the hate go towards you.
Yes, send it all my way. But do you think maybe there should be a little more respect on them considering the winning season that they kind of had and the upward trajectory that, you know, the team has had since Chip's gotten there? Like, every year he's gotten better. And if that's going to be the case, I mean, then they're on pace to at least be an 8-win team. But I don't know, Josh.
It's just tough having 6 9-plus-win teams in the conference last year. Mm-hmm. 9 wins definitely is not enough. You need to be at least a 10-win to be, I feel like, in the conference to be up there for contention of winning the whole thing. And all the schools ahead have more experienced quarterbacks. Even if you do want to count Oregon State's DJ Uiagalelei as a more experienced quarterback, you're getting a, what, fifth-year guy.
Has it been four or five years already? No, I think we're only on 3 or 4. There's one year. So just to go off of that, number five is actually Oregon State for me. I kind of went back and forth with them and UCLA. But speaking on DJ, I think this is his third year because he sat behind Trevor Lawrence. Then he actually played some of that year. And then he had his full year. And then he had this past year where he kind of was in and out of the starting lineup there a little bit. So this will be his fourth year. Yeah, this will be his fourth year. It's gone. It goes by quick, huh?
He has 2 years of eligibility.
He has this year, and then he could come back. Because I mean, just the red shirt year.
Eligibility? Yeah.
He might because the COVID year.
That's what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, my bias is I think that what Oregon State was missing last year was a quarterback. If he comes and fill those shoes, potentially Oregon State could be top three in the conference. To me, potentially ahead of their rival.
Yeah, no, there's no doubt about it. And yeah, that was the one thing kind of missed for them was the quarterback position. And apparently they knew that. The one thing also interesting about DJ, I don't know if you saw, he got drafted by the Dodgers in the MLB draft. I don't know how many rounds they have. I think they have like 20 rounds, but he was like the fifth to last pick. And that doesn't mean that's where he should have been drafted, but that's just the Dodgers kind of taking a flyer and kind of claiming him, much like Kyler Murray and also some of these other guys that are kind of locked in on football. But I think if they ever do want to dabble in baseball, then they I guess they go to that team. I think they can re-enter the draft. I think DJ can re-enter the draft, if I'm not mistaken. But DJ is a Dodger. You know, if football doesn't work out, I mean, right now, no one's really talking about him being drafted, which is kind of weird because coming out of high school, everyone thought he was bound to be a first, second round pick, but remains to be seen. But I wanted to shout out DJ for that. I remember the first time I interviewed him was actually had nothing to do with football. I didn't even know he was going to play football. It was at a baseball youth camp at the 66ers stadium in San Bernardino. So I remember DJ playing baseball all that long ago. Number Cheddar 4, Cheddar went to Upland. We did talk about that on the podcast. It's been a while. Yeah.
He was our ball boy our senior year.
Mm-hmm. And then who was he would have been the quarterback after, not right after Tyler. No, there would have been a few other guys.
Yeah. But
yeah, not right away, but he would have been not too far. I don't remember who the quarterback was, but
2 years. The year David Baldwin, we had David Baldwin.
Oh, yeah. I remember that name.
And mm-hmm. I think that, and then they thought that David Baldwin was going to be the quarterback for his whole time there. So then DJ goes to Bosco.
Really? I mean, I don't think DJ would have been scared of that competition, to be honest.
I don't know. I never.
You never found out, huh?
I never
stayed out of it. Okay, fair enough. But yeah, so speaking of DJ, his brother Mateo signed his NIL or his NLI this past winter and is now going to be an Oregon Duck. There's some hype on him. He's already been considered, you know, a freshman to watch in the Pac-12 this year. He's with Oregon. Oregon is my number four team. They have Bo Nix coming back. There's a lot of people who didn't think Bo Nix was going to come back potentially. I think he was maybe in the top 10 in the Heisman, if I'm not mistaken. So I think Oregon would definitely be a team. I feel like they're kind of almost being slept on a little bit, especially considering they have guys coming back. But again, it's just so much talent that's also in the conference. It's kind of like you can't make everybody number one. Number three, a team that UCLA beat last year at home. Washington is my number three team with that big Penix energy, Josh. He's coming back, and he is expected to kind of be the guy again. And I think they were like a top five offense, at least top 10 offense, if I'm not mistaken. There's some high expectations for Michael Penix. He's already being talked about as a guy who can sneak into the first round, should be a first or second round guy in the NFL draft next year. One of the top guys would be highly regarded if it wasn't for the team, the quarterback for the team I have ahead of him, but Michael Penix is a guy. Any thoughts on Washington and the offense there?
I'm not sold on UW yet.
Wow. Really?
They potentially could. I mean,
I don't know much about their defense, to be honest. So
I wasn't that impressed last year. I don't know. The Pac-12 was just so weird. Like, mm-hmm. You have games where teams look like, wow, this team should be undefeated. And other teams like, they don't look like they're not that good, you know. Everybody's beatable any given Saturday, mm-hmm. or if there's any – I don't think they do Thursday, Friday games no more. But any given Saturday, one of those teams could lose.
Oh, for sure. I mean, UCLA proved that. Because I think not a lot of people had – UCLA beating Washington. I think Washington already had a little hype coming into that. And
I mean, nobody had UCLA doing a lot of things. The next thing you know, they want playoffs. And then next thing you know, they're not good again. So
yeah,
you can't feed into the hype. And it is, I feel like the thing that I brag about when people like get on the Pac-12, I'm like, we potentially could have five quarterbacks drafted in the first few rounds. If the way things play out, you could potentially have five, I want to say five in the first round, but like the first five quarterbacks off the board could potentially be Pac-12 quarterbacks.
Yep.
And that's one of the things that, like, I'm talking to the boys that are from the South, like, or SEC or the other conference, they don't, or like the Big Ten, and they don't understand. I'm like Pac-12 quarterbacks and stuff like that run the league, like skill, you know what I'm saying? Where there's a lot of talent. And that's like next year, that's what's going to be like. So it's just so hard to tell. Like, it's way too early. Like, I need to see everybody's non-conference games.
Yeah.
To be like, okay, they could potentially run the table or like this. Because, I mean, I'm guessing who's your number one.
You're probably not going to get it right. Go ahead. Guess.
I guess you put.
Go ahead.
You have, I mean, it's either USC or Utah. But yeah. Like, SC being in the top two, like, if their defense didn't get any better, are you rolling all this on Caleb Williams? And then at the same time, do you think Caleb Williams plays the entire season?
That's true. I mean, a lot of people think USC should be number one just because they were, I think if they would have beat Utah in that Pac-12 championship game, they probably would have been in the playoff. I think that was a loss they really didn't need. If they could have been in the playoff for sure, if they would have beat Utah and at least even that series with them for that year, because they did play him twice. They lost to him twice. But also because Caleb Williams won the Heisman, I think a lot of people are going to put him number one for that, as if that's like a Heisman privilege, right? But I don't know. Something about something about Utah, for me, they have Cam Rising coming back at quarterback. He's been a little hurt. He got hurt in the Rose Bowl, so it's kind of iffy where he's going to play at the first three games. If he's going to play, he's kind of questionable going into the season. But they're kind of a team that is more, you know what you're going to get from their defense, and the reputation their defense has compared to some of these other guys, right? We don't know about UCLA. We don't know about USC's defense. We don't know about Washington's defense, but we do know about Utah's defense. And what is the one thing I think you're going to need to be successful in the Pac-12 is you need to have a defense against all these different quarterbacks you're going to play. Because if you have Bo Nix and Michael Penix just throwing the ball, they could be a high scoring game. It's going to come down to which defense gets the one stop, right? But I think that's the one thing with Utah. They have consistency with their quarterback. They have some playmakers on offense they may have to replace, but you know what you have for their defense. And
but one of their biggest weapons on defense is gone.
I'm trying to remember, who was that?
Clark Phillips.
Yeah, Clark Phillips, which is weird because he didn't even get drafted. I thought that was weird.
But for them, he was one of their lockdowns and a issue that teams had to deal with. Not having him going against a pass-heavy conference to guard team's best receivers, who steps up for that? That could hurt their defense. Their run stopping, we know they can run stop, but that's like what team in this conference is beating people solely on the run? Like, we haven't really seen teams do that. I mean, UCLA has with Charbonnet and even to when we had Josh Kelly, like, we were almost beating people running the ball, but nobody's doing it the way I would say how Stanford was doing it week in and week out, beating people running the ball. So, like, having a good run defense is great. But in a conference like this, that's so with all these quarterbacks, it's who's going to be able to stop the pass, create turnovers that way. I think that is ultimately going to win the Pac-12 this year.
There's no doubt about it. And we mentioned some of the quarterbacks there. Again, we do some of the preseason. We do the preseason all Pac-12 team. I went ahead for quarterback and I did pick Caleb Williams, obviously. And then I picked Michael Penix. So I think Bo Nix is gonna get left in the cold.
You like the big Penix energy.
I do like the nickname, but there is a lot of hype on him. Like, he's supposed to be a guy, but he can very easily, there could be so much hype. Like, the thing is with the quarterbacks is with Caleb Williams, Bo Nix, you can throw Cam Rising for Utah in there, and then Michael Penix, as you know, all of them cannot have good seasons again. Like, not everyone is going to be able to produce the seasons they did last year. Someone's going to have a bad season. Someone's, you know, it's just bound to happen. Someone may unfortunately get injured. So it's just a matter of who can stay healthy, who can stay consistent is the thing for me. So, and I think for one of the things for USC was they had a minus 22 where Caleb Williams didn't turn the ball over. So they were in the green because of how many turnovers the defense was able to produce and how much Caleb Williams did not turn over the ball. Now, the thing is can Caleb Williams not turn the ball over that much again and be that consistent playmaker? That kind of remains to be seen. Because if he gets a little there's been times where he looks a little frustrated. He got a little pouty. And Lincoln Riley would have to go over there and be like, hey, like, chill out. And this is like the first or second quarter. So if he gets pouty, starts getting reckless with the football, then they could be in trouble. Because you can't really rely on the defense for USC to kind of bail them out.
How many Heisman Trophy winners have had better seasons the year after?
That's also true too. Yeah,
I feel like I consistently who's won the Heisman back to back years? Especially in the past two decades.
Nobody has. Someone came close. Someone won it. Bryce Young. Oh, Bryce Young won it like his freshman year and then was like second the next year. So that was about as good as it.
You have like Matt Leinart, but then Reggie Bush.
Matt Leinart came back and I don't think it went well. Yeah.
Because then Reggie Bush got it the next.
Yeah.
But you don't see guys after they win the Heisman have a better year following.
It's hard to top it. It's hard to top. Yeah. It's hard to top a season like that.
Everybody's keying in on you. If you don't have the right weapons, you know, this is going to be his second year in the Pac-12. So now teams are getting more familiar with his game. So.
Yeah. And the thing with Caleb Williams, and I'm not using this as the reasoning as for why he won, because he is a talented player. And in the same, and you can kind of mention it in the same way about Bryce Young. they won it so young and they're so early in their careers. Like, that was the first full season for Caleb Williams as a starting quarterback. He was sharing time with Spencer Rattler at Oklahoma, or he took over the job like halfway through during the last year for Lincoln Riley and Caleb Williams at Oklahoma. So this was barely his first full year as a starting quarterback. So now we're getting year two of him. And like you said, people are going to be more familiar with his game. They know what to expect. They know what the personnel is there at USC. So kind of remains to be seen. But I'm kind of curious your thoughts, your perspective. Is that something you guys buy into on, like, oh, you know, the media has this dude pegged as the number one quarterback or as the number one linebacker? As someone who played linebacker in the conference and as someone who's at media day, is that, do any of those preseason awards, does that kind of do anything for you?
No, because it doesn't mean anything when y'all are lined up on that field. Like, that, as soon as the season starts and when you're playing them, like, nothing the media says is going to help you or help them when it when that ball is snapped. Like, they're not going to not let somebody sack Caleb Williams because they had him on the, you know, or like, that doesn't mean you automatically win it when the awards really come out. You have to prove that week in and week out. So that doesn't matter.
Yeah, that's true. And it kind of makes me wonder why we do it. I think it's just so they have something to talk about, really. I just kind of do it so I can get familiar with some of the names and whatnot. But speaking of which, I'm also doing something else this year, talking about voting. I am going to be a top, an AP top 25 voter this year. So I got to follow
that's a,
all
that's
the
a lot of pressure. That's what I'm saying. That's a lot of pressure because you have to, your Saturdays, you got to be glued. You need to,
I have to be glued. I got to be dialed in a little bit more than just UCLA this season, which is kind of a good thing. And I kind of try to do it, and I think it'll help me be a little better at it. Because I always go and I always cover the Rose Bowl game. So it's like, I'm always going to, at the end of the year, always see like an Ohio State, a Michigan, or Penn State, something like that anyways. Usually kind of get to see Utah for a second time during the season if they're the one who are in the Pac-12 championship or the Pac-12 representative in the Rose Bowl like they were the past 2 years. So yeah, but right now it's kind of difficult to, like, outside of saying Georgia's number one, to kind of like produce a top 25 nationally, because the easy thing to do is to put Georgia. Okay, and this is weird. I'm going to tell you right now, I'm going to have USC as my number four team, which is weird because I have
off
them
off the Tulane loss.
Yeah. Yeah.
How do you be top four with the way that defense looked?
Well, because the thing is, too, is like, so I'm going to have Michigan and Ohio State in the top four as well. But I don't know what the quarterback situation is for Ohio State right now. It's all just kind of
USC beating Alabama next year, this year.
Yeah, because they lost Bryce Young. So I don't, like, I don't know who their next guy is. But they're probably like number five.
He won them a few games when Bryce was out.
Whoever dude was, I can't even think of dude's name, to be honest. Like, that's the thing. Like, I feel like the hardest one is going to be the preseason. Because it's like you're kind of blindly just ranking teams, which is like makes it kind of hard because I'm like, I kind of know I'm going to be wrong. I have to accept the fact that it's not going to be perfect right off the jump. But
because you got to watch the top 30 teams in the country, because potentially you have to pay.
No, you got to watch. Yeah. The top 30,
26
yeah, right.
through
yeah,
30, yeah, yeah. because you never like when almost more than that for the first few weeks could be the top 40. Because
it could be anybody. Yeah. Yeah.
Team could make it could go in at 40 and end up being a top 25 by the second, third week.
Yep.
I'm glad that pressure is on you. And I understand why the media would be messing up because unless you're getting paid to watch college football, nobody got enough time to watch.
There's not enough time in the day.
Team and like really, you know, be able to break all that down. At some point, you got to just make guesses.
And it's kind of like a weird situation because like I've heard people get like damn near death threats over like, how dare you pick, you know, team A over our team when they beat them 3 weeks ago and yada, yada, yada. And, you know, we're going to burn your house down and all that. So hey, I'm like,
SEC don't play.
Yeah. I mean, I'm glad I don't live in the SEC trying to make these votes. So it should be fun. It'll be interesting. I think that's a segment we'll have on the podcast. We'll kind of do, you know, kind of a review of the AP top 25, because I'll be a little bit more involved in that and I'll be following that closely. So we'll be able to kind of recap some of that. But yeah, I got to try and figure out how I'm going to watch all these games. Because I have to like more or less submit it. I have to submit the top 25 the same night.
Saturday?
Yeah, well, because I have until like 8 in the morning on Sunday. I ain't waking up at 8 in the morning to do nothing. So yeah. I'm doing it that night.
You got to be doing it, yeah, throughout the day.
Yeah. It's pretty much, yes, exactly.
But it's like once you have kind of a top 25, it'll kind of shake itself out and be kind of consistent till the year. So
it's just, it's kind of like the preseason through non-conference is going to be kind of like, what are we doing?
Anything can happen.
And it's super interesting because I didn't know this until like last year or so, that they actually reveal every individual poll. I thought they just had the top 25 and then they just knew who the group was. They're going to actually post my vote, like my poll individually. So whatever. Send your hate tweets to at JHW Reporter. So again, as we get ready to sign off, Josh, real quick. At Pacto Media Day, what is one question that you wished you were asked?
What my current playlist is, or what brands would I love to wear?
Okay.
Especially good. with the name, image and likeness now, yeah, I'm asking.
It's a good opportunity.
What endorsements do you want? I want,
Or what is your ideal endorsement? Yeah, okay. I might ask some of those questions because sometimes we're just sitting there looking at each other for like, because y'all are like sitting up there for like 30, 40 minutes and it's like, hell, I don't know what to ask y'all.
Yeah, so. help the boys get their money up and their branding deals up. Might as well.
Awesome. Thanks for your time, Josh. Good luck with the next game and we will talk to you guys in the next one. Thank you, guys. This is the Believe in UCLA Football Podcast presented by Bet Online.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.